The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
God bless you for tuning in. Hello, this is Christina Sasso of Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God Ministries International, and you're listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Darkness or blindness in the body of Christ has come to an end, and it will be so great for our future and for the future generations to take the baton from us, and they will do greater exploits in the kingdom of our God because of our obedience and because darkness has ended, okay? The Lord is saying that the darkness has ended in the body of Christ, not the world. The world was going to get darker, but our light will continue to shine brighter if we continue to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him, and obey Him. Remember, in the book of Revelation, He commanded us, let the vile continue to be vile. Let the wicked continue to be wicked. But let the holy continue to be holy and do righteous things. It's more, that's the gist of that commandment. So you need to let them, but you focus on what you're supposed to be in the kingdom of God, okay? If you miss previous prophecies released to this country and prophecies for the church, you can go to our website at sogmi.org. You can get access to our previous podcast. And of course, we're also on Apple Podcast and Spotify. But in our website at sogmi.org, you can also gain access of our Sunday and Wednesday services in which those prophecies were released. Okay? Again, it's sogmi.org, or you can find us on YouTube. And while you're at it, please hit like and subscribe, all right? So let us start. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, NIV. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Our life in Christ Jesus is the light of the world. Okay? We're like Jesus. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or was not able to defeat it or comprehend or understand it. Okay? In Psalm chapter 37, verse 6, BSB, He will bring forth your righteousness like the dawn, your justice like the noonday sun. Again, in BSB translation, Psalm 112, verse 4. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright, for the gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Here it is. The darkness has ended in the body of Christ. Okay? Use this as reference, Psalm 112, verse 4. That is why revelation continues. New revelation and the teachings from the Holy Spirit are so inspiring, and my life gets transformed every time. Every time I receive from the Holy Spirit, and every time I share it, and every time I obey the instruction. So, in last broadcast, I mentioned some of the darkness that covered the church in the past. And this was perpetrated not by the world, but the religious devils of our times. Some of the wicked leaders of our times, just like in Jesus' time. Luke chapter 11, verse 44 through 46. Woe to you because you are like unmarked graves, which men walked over without knowing it. Talking about the teachers and the Pharisees. Verse 45. One of the experts in the law answered him, Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. They're just practically saying, you are very insulting. You are insulting us. 46. Jesus replied, And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. This is what the man-made doctrines does, and the rules and regulations in the church. And said, you have to submit, you have to obey your pastors, you have to do this and you have to do that. As if God cannot use you without their permission. As if you will not be blessed without their permission. They got in between God and you, wherein you are as much child of God as they are. And probably many of them are children of the devil. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let in those who wish to enter. You keep them in the dark. You always say, oh, the word of God has given me shadows and nuggets. Why do you want shadows? Why do you want nuggets? You want the whole caboodle. The body of Christ wants the whole caboodle. And this is happening right now in the body of Christ. The uprooting of those that Father God did not plant. They are self-appointed, or they have gone by the wayside, and they focus on money and themselves. Okay? Matthew chapter 15, verses 5 through 14. But you say that if anyone says to his father or mother, whatever you would have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he need not honor his father or mother with it, thus nullify the word of God for the sake of tradition. It says, you hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, yet they teach us doctrines, the precepts of men, man-made doctrines. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. A man is not defiled what enters his mouth, but what comes out of it. Then the disciples came to him and said, are you aware that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? But Jesus replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled by its roots. Disregard them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Then Peter asked to explain the parable. So in verse 17 through 20 says, do you not realize that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things defile a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a man. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile him. The religious leaders in our time, again, those who limit God and limit God's people and elevate themselves to be the Lord, are not planted by him. They are not planted or appointed by God, and they will be uprooted. It is part of the wicked root that is being uprooted by God's own hands. The dark ages of the church has come to an end. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They do not know what makes them stumble. Like in Jesus' time and in the book of Acts, some religious leaders are lording over God's people. They look down on them. They think that they have a power over their soul. They can kick them out of the synagogue without mercy if they were offended. And Jesus set an example for us to follow. Even now, some leaders look down at God's people. We are supposed to look at God's people like Jesus. We're supposed to look at God's people from the position of love, of compassion, of someone equally loved by God like us. that God does not play favorites, that every born-again believer is born of royalty, is born to be prosperous, to have a full life here on earth, not just a few selected few. The five offices are not set up by God to lord over God's people. They are set up to serve God's people, to prepare them for the works of service until we reach the full maturity. Because when a member of the body of Christ is matured in the things of God and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then his allotted inheritance is going to manifest. This is what the transfer of wealth and influence is all about, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not just about money. It's about you having a full life and an enjoyable life, and you can influence others and you can tell them about Jesus, not just the five offices. The five offices will be eliminated, will be gone away with when the body of Christ is matured. So when you are prepared for the works of service, the very first thing that you have to do is to develop that personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And our teacher is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you by the book. Okay? He will never negate himself. But every plan of God, every order of God, it is based on love. Okay? And so this is how Jesus viewed the religious leaders in John chapter 8, verse 39 through 44. They were telling Jesus, "Abraham is our father," they replied. "If you were children of Abraham," said Jesus, "you will do the works of Abraham." What did Abraham do? He believed God and obeyed God. Okay? Verse 40, "But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. You are doing the works of your father." "We're not illegitimate children," they declared. "Our only father is God himself." 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you are unable to accept my message." Because remember, the message of the cross is foolishness to the world. Let's continue. Verse 44. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, refusing to uphold the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language because he is a liar and the father of lies." In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, you read it, Cornelius is not a Jew. He was a centurion belonging to an Italian regiment. But he believed God and he prayed to God every day. And not only that, he gives alms to the poor. So God called him to be one of his apostles because of Cornelius' heart. Keep that in mind, okay? And the spiritual leaders in those times, they looked at the woman with humpback as nobody, unimportant, easy to be discarded like a trash, but not so with our Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 16. "One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman there had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was hunched over and could not stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, 'Woman, you are set free from your disability.' Then he placed his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and began to glorify God." Look at Jesus. He interrupted everything and took special care of one child of God, a woman with a humpback for 18 years. Verse 14. "But the synagogue leader was indignant that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. There are 6 days for work, he told the crowd, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath. Keep in mind that what is obvious. This woman had been humpback for 18 years, and I guarantee you he's been coming on those 6 days for work that this leader was talking about, but she was never been healed. So this is Jesus' reaction. Verse 15, you hypocrites, the Lord replied, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? So the spiritual leaders looked at this woman or regarded this woman lower than their own animals or donkey. Nobody, unimportant. But look at Jesus, verse 16. Then should not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be released from her bondage on the Sabbath day? This is happening now. Some leaders had been manipulating, controlling, and keeping the people of God blind and immature. That as if we cannot obey God or have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ without them saying so. This is coming to an end. Every born-again believer, those who truly belong to Jesus, will be set free. Their spiritual eyes will be opened. And one thing, the darkness that has covered the church is the message about prosperity, that it's about faith and it's about how much you give. And said, that's not it. Because Jesus was very clear about of Christ. Yeah, we reap what we sow, good or bad. But what Jesus said is, do not worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to dress. These concerns are the concerns of the world. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, meaning material things, will be added to you as well. You cannot have lots of clothes, not unless you have money, even just to buy the materials or buy clothes. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his ways of doing things. All the material things will be added to you as well. And also, a part, one of the prophecies that the Lord had me released is, the resources are already here. All we need to do is to prepare ourselves, follow the instructions of the Lord to the letter, believe and trust him, and be ready to spring in action. So the beggars will be eliminated from the pulpit, because the coming new breed of leaders will have their resources that they don't need to beg. They don't need to raise funds. They don't need to compromise, but they have their own resources. And they will perform miracles, like when the temple tax is due for Peter and Jesus, and Jesus instructed Peter. Those resources that were used in obeying God, in preaching, and obeying the Great Commission, the resources will be there available for us. And no man can claim that they made you rich. No man can claim or can control you, because they're the one who's giving you or financing your ministry. That is going away, right, of Christ. This is what the teaching about business, doing business God's way, and about the transfer of wealth and influence is for the body of Christ to mature in the things of God. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 says that even if a child owns the whole state, because he's a child, he is subject to trustees and guardianship. Once you mature, you can pray to God. You can develop that relationship with God. You believe that whatever the promises in the Bible, as long as you believe and obey God, they are for you. As much as you can handle, as much as you can believe and receive from God, it is there for you. Yes, sometimes it's not easy. I want God sometimes to put a down payment on my mission trips. But no, I have to walk the talk. I have to believe God like you do. I have to be willing to pay the price. That's why I had been in this radio for more than a decade, and you have not heard me begging or asking for money. Sometimes I give you opportunity to give to our mission. But those that are giving, those are radio listeners, they volunteer it because they got blessed with this radio station. Okay? And I did not beg for money. I'm too dignified. I want to keep my dignity, okay? I'm not a beggar. Because early on, when I got born again, God pointed out to me Psalm 37. I am now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken and their seeds or children begging for bread. And I do not tolerate people interrupting our service to ask for money or attend our training or our conferences and they want to take over. And someone told me and said, well, there should be liberty in the things of God. And I said, yes, then be free to hold your own prophetic conference because people are here to hear what God is saying through me and through the team, not through you. God did not even tell me that you're coming. And I have to test. I don't know the fruits in your life or in your ministry. So no, you cannot interrupt or you cannot take the microphone. Those wicked acts are going to stop. You understand what I'm saying? They got to stop. Because if you are a real child of God, you don't need to beg for bread. Everything is under trustees and guardianship. All you need to do is to obey God, and you will be provided for. Some people are lecturing us, well, what are you doing for the poor? I'm praying that they will not be poor any longer. We are obeying the Great Commission. We're going to preach the gospel of good news to the poor. But we're not going to finance poverty. Because Jesus said, the poor you will have always. And he rebuked Judas for giving this woman who washed his feet with perfume for being so extravagant. Jesus said, poor you will have always. But what this woman did today, it will be talked about or read about forever. Because honoring God is first and foremost. You thank God even in the time of lack. Those lack, they're temporary. Are you getting this? So darkness has ended in the body of Christ, and now the truth is being preached, and people's eyes are being opened. Okay? Okay. Isn't this wonderful? No more manipulations in the body of Christ that the church will emerge as a glorious and influential church, not just few people. That we as pastors, the tithes and offerings don't belong to us. They belong in financing the gospel of good news. Yes, they're being used to pay the bills, for the upkeep of the facilities, for this radio broadcast, for some supplies. But they're not first and foremost a salary for the pastors. That is why the transfer of wealth is now being preached. Because wouldn't it be nice if you are a billionaire and then you're called to pastor? You already have thousands of employees. You don't need to invite people. And because of the fruits in your life, they want to hear what you have to say. And remember, in Jesus' time, they didn't take up an offering. They even have a treasurer, Judas. And some leaders and those that are in the body of Christ, that are beggars, that are takers, they put a value to their soul in terms of monetary. Remember, Judas was holding the purse to give money to the poor or to help the poor. Okay? He's already taking some to himself. In other words, he's paying himself. He thinks that he is worth that. And it didn't stop there. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That is not the price of Jesus, but of Christ. That's the price of Judas' soul. For those that are stealing from somebody, from their brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are taking things for themselves, they placed a value on their soul. Either they will be asked to repay that, they will be removed from their position. And they will soon realize that they have placed such a little value on their soul. May they repent before it's too late. God bless you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.